Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotion. Today's chapter is Acts 25, and I want to encourage you to open up your Bible or your Bible app and follow along with me. This is Acts 25. Now 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea, and the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul, and they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul that he summon him to Jerusalem, because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea and that he himself intended to go there shortly. "So," said he, "let the men of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him." After he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. Paul argued in his defense, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense." But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and I have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." Now when some days had passed, Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. And as they stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There's a man left prisoner by Felix. And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews laid out their case against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it was not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face and had opportunity to make his defense concerning the charge laid against him. So when they came together here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I supposed. Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Being at a loss how to investigate these questions, I asked whether he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding them, but when Paul had appealed to be kept in custody for the decision of the emperor, I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, "I would like to hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," said he, "you will hear him." So on the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with a great pomp, and they entered the audience hall with military tribunes and the prominent men of the city. Then at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, "King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he had done nothing deserving death. And as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after we have examined him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him." Amen. Today, I want to talk about how Paul requests the audience of Caesar. He says, "I appeal to Caesar." Why does he appeal to Caesar? And does he even meet Caesar at all? You know, while being held in custody in Caesarea, Paul appealed to have his court case heard by Caesar himself, as was his right as a Roman citizen. And then on his way to Rome, an angel said to Paul, and this comes from chapter 27, which we'll read next week. The angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you." And so we know Paul must have stood before Caesar, although the actual record of it is not found in the Bible. It was prophesied that Paul would preach before the Gentiles and kings, And so his appearance before Caesar was a fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, Paul, in appealing to Caesar, had a dual purpose. On one hand, he appealed to Caesar to prevent an unjust trial in Jerusalem. But he also appealed to Caesar because God had told him in chapter 23, "For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." As you think about Paul and his journey and the kind of life that he had to live and all the persecution and imprisonment, I'm really thankful and encouraged by his faithfulness. What a gift to the church was the Apostle Paul. Thanks to his big vision and his perseverance in the faith, he would not back down. And we saw earlier that he desired to go to Rome to share the gospel in that great city. And, you know, today we're just kind of focusing on how he says, "I appeal to Caesar." You know, if tried in Jerusalem, Paul knew he would never leave there alive. But it was not saving his own skin that led Paul to appeal to Caesar. He wanted to go to Rome and even into the presence of Caesar himself to testify for Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 10, "You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." And this was taking place right before his very eyes as he bore witness about Jesus before Roman governors, kings, and now before Caesar, the most powerful man in the world. It wasn't easy, but Paul persevered. And indeed, as we find out in his letter to the Philippians, he made it all the way into Caesar's palace. He says in chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." And so today, as we look at Paul's obedience to God's leading in his life, to not just be a living testament of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, but also in Rome, I want to encourage us to consider the ways that God might be leading us into opportunities for sharing the gospel, and that we would obey the Holy Spirit's leading. And so let's do that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that you give us through Paul. We thank you for our brother in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he was faithful and obedient to your leading, that even in the midst of imprisonment and an unjust trial, God, you told him to take courage, and that in the same way that he testified of Christ in Jerusalem, he was to do the same in Rome. And so I pray, Lord, that as we just continue to journey on and see Paul's journey to Rome, I pray that you would encourage us to know that you are with him always, every step of the way. And I pray that just as he always found opportunities to share the gospel, that we too would do the same. Help us to obey the Holy Spirit's leading when it comes to testifying about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel and hoping and praying that more people would believe and receive the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you and pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us in our daily devotion, and I hope that you would just continue to press into the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Have a great weekend.